Good evening and welcome back to the show. Phone lines are open. If you've had your own experiences with these aliens and you have your own thoughts, do you believe that the aliens are really from the angelic race? Are some of them demonic? Have you been abducted? Have you had a similar experience to our guests? Then we want to hear from you tonight on Coast to Coast AM. Our guests this evening for the last 2 hours and here for the last hour with us, Betty Andreessen Luca and Bob Luca. They've been talking to us about the book, The Andreessen Affair, The True Story of a Close Encounter of the Fourth Kind. They're working on a new book, which should be out, and hopefully we'll have them revisit with us when they talk about the new experiences that they relate in the book. We'll do that again here soon on Coast to Coast AM, I'm sure. I want to invite you to give us a call, share your ideas, thoughts, questions, concerns with our guests. We're going to take a quick break. We'll get right back into it here on Coast to Coast AM. This is Coast to Coast AM. Let's go into this before we take a few phone calls. Betty and Bob, I appreciate your time with us this evening. You know, according to the information that we're given, the press release on this, you describe your terrifying alien abductions and interventions, although it sounds like you were very almost peaceful with this. Was it terrifying at the time when you had the regressions and remembered this? Or, you know, where does the terror come in on this?
It was off and on, actually, because it was all strange to me. So, and then as things are being done, then you start to relax because you see you're not going to be hurt. So then you accept, you know. But at times, and especially when I was brought before the one, that was frightening to me because it was just a magnificently bright light, and I could see no form, but I heard the voice and everything. That was a little frightening for me. And in the very beginning, is just because of the beings, what they looked like, that in itself. But as I said, I heard in my mind, entertain the strangers, for it may be angels unaware, and that's what I felt that they were. And angels are also bring messages to people, you know. So this is how I felt it. They are angels, and they have not really hurt me in any way.
So it wasn't so much terrifying, but when you started to do the regression and these memories would come back to you, did it leave you unnerved and uncomfortable realizing that you were so vulnerable and easy to access by these beings?
Yes. In a way, that did, but I wasn't being hurt, so that's what I could feel comfortable in as far as, they weren't hurting me, so I was getting the information out so others could also benefit by it, you know, from what I went through that may be helpful to others that go through some similar things.
What about you, Bob? Did you have any fear of what was going on at any time, or especially once you started to peel back these layers and realize what all had gone on?
Well, as far as being in the ship and on that table, it scared the crap out of me. Pardon my English, but it's the best I can put it to you. However, afterwards, after reviewing it, let's face it, I'm here today. I'm none the worse for wear. I think today, if I had to go through that same thing or have another root canal done, I'd probably choose that over the root canal.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. There's something else I wanted to mention to you, too, before. You mentioned if they have directly intervened in any way. Well, not with Betty and I, but there's several cases here and in Russia where they have disabled our nuclear missiles, and in Russia, they set off the nuclear missiles to a point where they were within minutes of actually being fired, and the personnel had no control over them at the consoles. Also in Rendlesham Forest, the Bentwaters case, we had interviewed Larry Warren, who was there, and they shone light beams down on the bunkers that were housing the nuclear missiles there as well. A lot of people may not be aware of this, but Robert Salas has done a book on this. He was the head of one of these bunkers in control of, I think, 20 or more missiles.
Right. I think we had him on Coast to Coast a few months ago talking about that with the new book, right?
Yeah, that's pretty direct intervention if you look at it from that angle.
Let me ask this, too, and we'll start taking some phone calls. When you were aboard the craft and with these beings, did you ever witness any other humans? And did you ever witness any other beings that looked to be kind of test subjects like yourself that weren't the aliens but were not human and may have been test subjects from other planets?
No, I did not.
I did, but it is in the new book, so I would prefer not to tell exactly what that is at this time.
Okay, but you did experience other humans, or were there other beings?
Humans.
Could you?
Other humans.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, and just out of curiosity, have you ever come across those humans again in this?
No, I haven't. No, and during that time, I didn't know who they actually were.
Let's open up the phone lines here, take some calls, and again, our phone lines are open on Coast to Coast AM. If you have a question or your own story, if you were abducted and would like to chat about this, here's your time to shine. We're going to go east of the Rockies. Patrick in Bridgeport, Ohio, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I'd like to commend you for bringing forth your stories tonight and the show for the bumper music. I had a question about the different kinds of crafts. I believe there's the silver discs and then the black triangles. It was spoken of earlier of the battles going on and stuff with them. I've had two daylight sightings with the silver crafts. I've never had any encounters like fourth, you know, kind or anything, but was just wondering, was that maybe a possible encounter?
Well, it could be. Have you ever considered to go under regressive hypnosis to see if anything more happened besides you sighting them?
No, I've never done that. I've had experiences, you know, with dreams, with UFOs and such. Is there anything like related in that matter, like with the spirit world, when you're sleeping, do these things use the dream world to encounter people?
Well, at times, yes, they come in at that time. There have been many people that have been taken right out of their bedroom, yes.
Did you have any missing time during this sighting that you couldn't account for?
Not that I remember. I was with a buddy, and we pulled off the side of the road and watched this silver disc floating by real slow, and I guess it was a third encounter, because as soon as I said there's no jet stream or, you know, contrail coming off the thing, it started spitting one out for a few seconds, and then it cut off. And it was almost like it was letting me know that it heard me, and it was kind of showing me.
Right,
but
exactly.
No missing time that I could speak of.
Okay, well, it sounds like what you saw was
I had
a real
my
deal.
Second encounter. I was walking down to get the mail one day, and I seen another one just kind of floating there. And when it knew I was watching it, it started moving real slowly, and it just, like, faded out to nothing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It sounds like that's the real deal, what you had seen.
Thank you, Patrick. We appreciate you calling in. Are those the type of craft that you've been witness to yourself, seeing these disc-like craft or the large triangles, or do you see totally different style craft?
No, those and also the orbs.
And the cigar shape.
And right, the cigar shape type. Craft very huge.
I'd like to ask you this, and for any of the callers that may have had experiences as well with UFO or craft, a good friend of ours, Chris Fleming, who's a psychic and a sensitive, he's been a part of many of the different paranormal TV series, saw and witnessed a UFO a couple weeks ago, and he said it was this orb-like UFO craft, and just before it took off, there appeared to be some kind of tornado-looking vortex that opened above it, as though it was about to go through a wormhole into wherever it was heading off to next. That's the first time I've ever heard or seen of that, except for in the movies, of course.
Right.
Have you ever witnessed that, Betty or Bob? Have you ever witnessed that type of portal open for these craft to shift through?
Well, in some respect, not exactly like what he did, but I think also because he is open. Being a psychic, he is going to see a lot further than somebody that is one sighting of the craft. He's seeing more of the works of and the energy and power of the craft there. seeing he's psychic.
Oh, okay. So what he's probably seeing is just the energy around it that's opening up.
Exactly, yes.
Gotcha. Understand. Okay, let's go west of the Rockies. Paul in Tacoma, Washington. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Yeah, this is Paul.
Hello, Paul.
I'd like, well, I thank you for being on the show.
Thank you.
And telling about your experiences. I've had since October 2, 1974, I've been filming spaceships with both movie film, Super 8 movie, and 35 millimeter.
Wonderful.
And I've been investigating these paranormal phenomena since 1963.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I've met some of the earlier contactees like George Adamski and Daniel Fry, mm-hmm. and also Tom Bearden. And I'm also mentioned in Tom Bearden's book, Excalibur Briefing, explaining paranormal phenomena.
Mm-hmm.
So you go way back to some of the very first.
Right. And the paranormal phenomena is closely connected to people that have had UFO experiences.
Also worked with a man named Dr. Berthold Eric Schwarz, an MD. And
we're familiar with him.
Psychiatric and psychic aspects of the UFO syndrome. And in book two, I mentioned in there because of chapter 23, I participated in an experiment up at Betty Hill's Landing Field in New Hampshire.
Yes.
Right.
We know Betty Hill, yes.
Yeah. But also in 1968, I had a contact with a being called Latu, who said he was from the planet Venus.
Mm-hmm.
There were some things going on there where we had phone calls. We were guided to go to different places to, this was in Dorchester, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
And we were guided to go to places for contacts, and we had messages on tapes, and we had a port such as shiny stones appear out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just been, I've gone through all kinds of wonderful experiences with our star friends.
Paul, let me ask you this. You said that you would receive recordings. They would leave vocalizations telling you where to go?
Yes.
What would these voices...
Pardon?
What, could you explain these voices to us? Were they speaking in an English form? Was it harmonic? How would they communicate with you?
Well, on the phone, and it would be sort of like a monotone voice. It was, "Hello, Paul Kozlowski. You are to go to so-and-so," and in fact, when they spoke, and Latu had spoken to us, we were on the porch one evening, and he spoke to us, he was going to appear also for us, but as he spoke, it was sort of like I could feel that whole energy through my body.
Mm-hmm.
It was wonderful. It was just,
it sounds like you're very open. Your spirit is very open to receive those things.
I'm called a starseed since I had contact with our star beings, with beings where they had these big oval eyes, black eyes,
Mm-hmm.
And also I was told that my small silent voice within is where I get my guidance.
That's true.
Have these beings met with you, Paul? Have they taken you into their craft at any time?
Well, yes. I was in Vietnam, and they took me through the minefields. They beat me up into a starship.
Have you ever felt fear in regards to dealing with these creatures, beings?
Only a couple of times, but other times I felt very relaxed and... I felt what was happening to me was natural, and I didn't have any fear.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate you calling in. How about you, Betty? I mean, you've met with some of these more benevolent characters. Have there ever been either telepathic messages or physical manifestations of negative beings to you that have warned you or threatened you?
Well, there was one time that something happened that was like that. Bob and I was at the drive-in, and our windows were open, and there was a car next to us. and their window was open. All of a sudden, we hear this bam on the back of our car. And I'm urging Bob, get out to see what it was. What it hit the back of our car, whatever it was. And the thing was, is he didn't want to move.
I don't blame you, Bob. I don't think I would have gotten out either at that point.
Well, the thing is, the guy next to us sitting there, he got out of his car. He was curious. He thought maybe one of the tires blew up. So he checked his car and he checked ours, and everything was A-okay. Then when it came time for the driving to be over, we headed home. And it usually took us so many minutes to get home. And along the way, I said, what happened to about 15 or 20 minutes? We're late in getting back home. Well, then I went under regressive hypnosis, and what happened was I came out of myself. Bob and I were in the car. They picked up the car and brought it into a place where they were, and there was an old van and a car. It looked like they had opened the doors, and it was abandoned and everything, but we're sitting there, and I'm unconscious, and so is Bob while we're in the car. But I came out in the spirit to watch, and I saw some of the small beings, and they were the bad ones, because they were on top of the car, and they went to the back, and I could now see that what they had thrown, some type of a metal light or something that they were removing from the back of the car. And at that point, I saw them coming toward our door, and at that point I heard thunder and a streak of lightning, and all of a sudden one of the elders showed up with the beings that I've seen with the blue suits and the belt and strap on their chest. They showed up, and the next thing I knew, we were on our way back home, and we got home, but as I said, there was about 20 minutes or more missing, and at that point, I didn't recall. It was later through regressive hypnosis that it came out. So that was some bad beings that had evidently used the light that they threw on the back of our car to follow us back to our the campground where we were staying.
We've got about a minute left in this segment. Are you still being visited by these creatures?
Yes. I've had another UFO experience, and that is what the book, Lifting the Veil, will be. It's going to tell our whole life story, all the few things that we went through and everything that people are not aware of, and then the last experience.
When you've gone through your hypnotherapy, did you go through a true therapist? You know, someone who doesn't ask leading questions, did you go to just, okay.
Most definitely, yes.
Both. And are the recordings available for people to hear anywhere?
I'm not aware if they are or not. I don't know if Ray Fowler would know that or not.
But he did transcribe them, is that right?
He transcribed them, yes.
So we can see the way the questions are posed.
Exactly.
All right.
There were very strange things that happened even during the regressive hypnosis sessions. There were several people with recorders. We had nurses pregnant present, and sometimes doctors and the hypnotist and the investigators.
Let's find out what happened during those regressions that were strange right after this. Before the break, as we were talking to Betty and Bob, they were telling us a little bit about the regressions. Now, you said, Bob, that during the regression, actually, it got a little crazy. Talk us through that. What happened?
Well, for one thing, there were several tape recorders going. There was nothing on in the office where the hypnotist was, and yet when the tapes were played back, there was music loud and clear. One song was like, "It's Wonderful, It's Marvelous," and these just showed up on the tape. And these were all new tapes.
Bob, could you stop for 1 second?
Sure.
Betty, were you just whispering during that?
No. I'm just sitting here listening.
Interesting. We'll see if we can actually isolate that audio for a little bit later. But, Bob, while you were talking, I could just hear what appeared to, it sounded like a woman whispering underneath you speaking.
Oh, wow. That was the next thing I was going to tell you about. On one of the other tapes, there was a soft woman's voice that spoke actually before Betty, the same words. We did take that tape to an audio lab, and they could find no reason for that second voice to be on there.
I'm just scared. I don't know if they can come out over the airwaves. Brian and Tricia back at the main office there, did you guys hear any of that come out while they were speaking? Could you guys hear that audio? No, they didn't hear it. Interesting. If we can pull that, I'll try to find it. Maybe we can have it added to the Coast website for tomorrow, people to review. I definitely need to hear that section again. So you've got all this weird anomalies going on while you're going through this. But so It's Wonderful was playing on in the background during one of the recordings?
Right. That was when I was on the wheel. They had put me on a wheel. They put that thing around my mouth and my ears, and the wheel was spinning. And that's when we were hearing the voice singing, "It's wonderful, it's marvelous that you should care for me," something like that.
The other thing that was interesting, and I believe the picture is in the book, her face, the skin on her face actually pulled back very tightly as if from G-forces, and you can see it clearly in the picture because I think it was Investigator Larry Fawcett took pictures while the hypnosis was going on. Also, at one point, Officer Fawcett jumped up, ran to the wall, and pulled back the curtain. And he thought there was a window behind the curtain. And I asked him why he did that. He said there was a bright light, an orb, that was like hopping along behind the curtain. Yet there was nothing there. It was a blank wall.
Yeah. Also, Dave, our telephone, we had a lot of problems with the telephone. And also when I was working, updating the city directory, there were six women there, and then the office on the side was the boss. And then there was a salesman that went out to sell city directories and everything, and he'd call in daily, sometimes several times to the boss. Well, he got the Pentagon. And he came in shocked, and he says, "You ladies aren't going to believe this, but, you know, I know that number by heart, and I dialed that number, and I got the Pentagon." I says, "Would you, because we have been going through so much surveillance," I says, "would you be willing to write down what happened and sign it?" He says, "Yes, he would," and I have that paper.
Let's take our final break. We'll come back. We'll continue with your calls. We'll continue with the story right here on Coast to Coast AM. It is an evening of high strangeness, that's for sure. Either we just caught a strange anomaly during the live interview, or I'm hallucinating. Either way, it's a win-win situation here on Coast to Coast AM. We're talking with our guests and finding out about their encounters with alien culture and abductions. Bob, Luca, Betty, and Reason, Luca have been our guests this evening. Let's go back and take a couple more calls. First-time caller line, Jason in Maui. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Dave, how you doing tonight, sir?
Doing great. Thanks a lot for calling in. What did you want to talk about?
Outstanding. I was about 6th, 7th grade. Me and a friend were coming back from a state park in Texas. And his mom was asleep. My friend was asleep. It was just me and his dad. We were in a big F-250. So something that can't be moved very easily. And we're going down the highway. The speed limit at the time is 60, 65, whatever it was, and him and I both see this huge light coming down out of the sky over the highway. Just comes down, comes straight at us. I mean, I saw him turn. I turned because I guess we were blinded, and, you know, kept going. He said, "Did you see that?" I said, "Yeah, I saw that." And we kept going, and couple miles down the road, he's like, he just starts cursing up a storm. And everybody wakes up like, what's going on? He hit somebody or something, but we were going back toward the state park we just came from. Now, in a big truck like this, if we would have went over the curb, the median, we would have felt it, inertia and all the momentum, but just we didn't feel anything. And just like, wow, what was that, and how did we get back going the opposite direction without feeling anything turned around? And secondly, I mean, I guess I have a little question that goes with that. On your show before, one of your guests had stated that if you have seen something like that, a UFO type or orb, whichever, that you have been on the ship, that you've been taken. And is that, Betty, Bob, do you guys think that's true?
Well, very much so. If you were heading back, heading out the same way again, it sounds to me as if there was a time difference going on there, and there something happened during that time difference.
And there have been a number of cases documented very similar where people were taken, the whole vehicle was taken up, mm-hmm. and they were later returned, and oftentimes not to the same place or point where they were when they were picked up.
Yeah, I guess they forgot which direction we were going, huh?
Sounds like it.
Thanks a lot for calling in, Jason. I appreciate that. Wild card, line one, Sam in Kansas City. Welcome to the show.
Oh, first, I'd like to say thank you, Dave and Bob and Betty, for sharing your experiences and helping us out here.
Thank you for listening.
You already answered my question, so I was wondering if I share a little story and then ask a question.
Please.
Okay. Well, I've had some missing times before and some spiritual events that happened to me. And it seemed like since then, like my electronics were working funny, like my TV and, you know, my radio, my phones and stuff that I own were like almost like a higher power was trying to talk to me or something of that nature. And I was wondering if they had any kind of experiences like that.
Oh, a lot of those kind of things are happening to us all the time.
We've had one house that we lived in, the lights would go off and on whenever they felt like it. And we had the neighbor's kids were over, and they were visiting, and the lights started to go off and on, and these kids took off and ran home. But we sold this house, and sometime months later, Betty ran into the new owner. And she said they came home one night from a movie or shopping. She turned on the light downstairs in the living room, and she said every light in the house went on all at once.
Yeah.
So, and we've had nothing but problems with anything electronic, telephone, computer, you name it. The problems were just unreal. Things would work one time, not work the next. One of the major things that happened, we had a professional photographer come down and take some pictures. One morning we came downstairs from the bedrooms were up on the second floor. In the kitchen, all of the crown molding was on the floor, yet the finishing nails were still in the wall. There was also a large stainless steel pot, and stainless steel is very tough, as you know, and the upper edge of the pan at the top, that pan was split right down the side, and some of our drinking glasses looked like they had white etching on them. Now, what kind of force, energy, whatever it takes to do that, I don't know. But it was a fact. The fellow came all the way down from Massachusetts just to take pictures of that pan and whatnot and examine it. So,
wow, fascinating stuff. Sam, did you have a question for them to wrap up with?
Oh, yeah, I was wondering if you can tell with the people that have been abducted like you or the people that are like you and how you could tell that you're not alone.
How that, pardon me, I didn't get the question very well.
You said you weren't the only one, so I was wondering how you could tell what the people that, how you could tell, like in everyday activities, who the people were that were like you guys.
Well, people seem to seek you out if they've had an experience and they know who you are. I mean, we've been approached at anywhere from sitting in a restaurant eating breakfast to, you know, at different conferences and things like that. And people want to talk about it. They may be afraid to go public. In fact, we even had professors at MIT, one professor in particular, that told us about an experience he had, but he obviously didn't make it public because he didn't want to end up being unemployed.
Yeah. All right, thank you for calling in. Let's go to wildcard line two, Steve from Lockport, New York. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you for having me on the show.
Certainly.
And I am envious of you guys that have been on a ship, that have memories of being on a ship. I have myself been face-to-face with beings not of this world, twice in my life. Mm-hmm. Once when I was 3 years old, and 3 years ago, I actually seen one in my ceiling through a vortex. Now, I have no memories of being on a ship. I'm pretty sure these guys are communicating with me mm-hmm. through my dreams. And ever since that morning that I've seen them, they have stopped. I have had no other communications. And all my gifts that I've had my whole life, like ability to see things before they happen, whatever you want to call them, premonitions and all kinds of other mm-hmm. stuff, have ceased and stopped. And they have also mentally changed me somehow after that morning. I feel now that I am normal, whereas my whole life before that, I can now look back and say there was definitely something different about me. And I'm nobody special, but the message that I got from these guys is very one of peaceful. Like, they're not here to hurt. They weren't here to hurt me.
Right.
I think something wonderful is going to happen one of these days.
Oh, yes. We've been, both Bob and I, they more or less let us know that something was wonderful would be taking place.
I hope I'm around to see it. I'm 50 years old now.
I hope we all are. The way the world is going, I hope we all are.
Thank you, Steve. We appreciate the call. Let's go to Wildcard Line 3, Roger in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. Do you have a question for our guests?
No, I got sort of an abduction story, I guess you would say. When I was 15 years old, we stayed in our cabin in West Virginia for a little while, and I can remember there was nothing to do because we didn't have radio wouldn't come in there, and all we had was like videos. You know what I mean, the VCR.
Roger, if you have us on speakerphone, I need you to take us off or get closer to the microphone because you're fading in and out on us.
Hello?
Yeah, much better.
Okay, I'm sorry. Anyway, I had built this big fire. We had logs that were maybe, I want to say, 4 or 5 feet long, and we put them in a triangle shape, and I lit it, and Mom and Dad went back in the house, and I think my sister, I don't know, she was in there maybe watching the video or whatever. But I looked at the fire, and it was burning pretty good, okay? And I'm sitting on this rock, and I got my legs dangling, and all of a sudden, it is like the moon. I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe a cloud moved from it, and that's where this illumination came from. Anyway, I looked back to my right and up, and there was like the shape of like a closed flip cell phone, right? But it looked like a piece of mercury, and it was bright. And then I looked back at my fire, and it was gone. My fire was like embers, and this was it felt like a split second.
Yep.
So anyway, I had a dream that night that there was these 5 aliens, and they were like as maybe tall as your, maybe one was really tall, and he was like leaning up against the tree, and he was real cool looking, like, you know, like he wasn't worried about anything. Well, I had attended a church gathering maybe 5 months before that in the summertime. And I had become born again, saved, and accepting Jesus into my heart.
Right.
And they sort of, like, gave me leeway. I ran away from them, and I got away from them. And my mom, she really likes cats. And she said, look at that one guy. He sort of looks like a cat, you know. And she was sort of, like, drawn to him. But anyway, what had happened the next day of the campfire, I want to call that, my dad and me both felt like we had been in a fight and our nose was bleeding. Okay. And now my sister, I don't remember her during any of this. She also came down with a nosebleed later. But anyway, I was worried at the time when I was 15 about going into geometry. Now, I struggled through math all my life. Until 10th grade, I had mastered the basics where I could go into a 10th grade math thing. And I had the choice of algebra or geometry, and I wanted geometry just because, you know, a personal note, maybe, you know, I wanted to carry around the kit, you know, with the compass, you know. But that was my worry at the time. Now, when I went to 10th grade...
Quickly, Roger, because we're running out of time here.
All right. Basically, short story long, I couldn't take the geometry. I had to take algebra, and I failed miserably. But anyway, when I got to junior college, I had taken the signed up for geometry, of course, and I went through it. And they handed us this book, and it had about 400 questions in it. And I took it right home because we met two nights a week. And I blew through this thing. I stayed up all night. And then went to class the next day, and they said, did anyone do the first five assignments? And no one did them. There was 16 of us in this class. And he said, and did anyone do it? And I said, yeah, I did. And he said, you want to come up and do the first problem? And I did. And I just kept going all the way through them. And I basically taught the class.
So it almost like it opened you up. Thank you for calling in, Roger. Almost opened you up and gave you this information, made you more acceptable. I mean, does it seem like, does it seem like they do open you up? Is there a good message that they have coming for us, or is there any concerns we should have in about 30 seconds, guys?
Well, yeah, you know, they're concerned with our lives here, and they are trying, at least the ones that I've been involved with, I think they're trying to help. Have things turn out better than where it's going right now.
There's also a lot of people that have been abducted, myself included, care a lot more now about the environment, which is something when I was younger I really didn't think about.
Well, thank you both for sharing with us this evening. Special thanks back in the home office, Tricia and Brian, my engineer Tim Dennis, Lisa Lyon and George Norrie, and of course our guests Lauren Coleman, Robert Ether, and Bob Luca and Betty Andreessen Luca. Thank you for listening to Coast AM. My name is Dave Schrader. Check out darknessradio.com, and I'll be back with you on the 19th and 20th right here on the best in overnight talk radio. This is Coast AM.